Dallas Cowboys might have the worst D-tackle room in the NFL. Jerry Jones has built a roster devoid of space eaters, devoid of guys who can fill gaps and take on double teams and win. He's built a team devoid of special running backs. The offensive line looks to be in decline, certainly if we compare it to 2 or 3 years ago, Baldy, when they were best of breed. It looks like a flawed Frankenstein football team. And the Giants have their faults as well. I tend to think it's going to be a cavalcade of points in this one. What's your assessment of the state of the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Well, I mean, it's not a great roster, Jason. Like, I played for the Cowboys. I know the history of that organization since 1960. You go back to, you know, Dan Reeves and Walt Garrison and Tony Dorsett and Emmitt Smith and Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. They've always had great running backs, always. They don't have one right now. It's just weird. You know, and Derrick Henry maybe could have been a Cowboy. He sure looked like a Hall of Fame running back to me the other day. But, you know, just, I mean, forget about the roster. I mean, if you want to stop the run in this business, you could stop the run, Jason. You might have to sell out. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, if you give a Hall of Fame running back an open B gap because nobody's there, he's going to find the open B gap. Yeah. If I can go pull YouTube highlights of Lamar Jackson in Pompano Beach, Florida, as a 15-year-old running a read option, and the Cowboys act like they never saw it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just assignment football. So, like, the thing that, more than the roster, which is a concerning thing, more than the roster is, what are they doing? The basics of run defense. They're giving up 5.5 yards a carry. They had no idea. Gave up 260. It looked like a bad college game the other day. And you know, an SEC team against, a small college team. But the basics of run defense, run gap, run fits, like, that's the basics of every defense. Get your heads in the A gap. Those defensive tackle positions you're talking about, which isn't strong, but, like, get somebody in the B gap. Let's fill the C gap. Let's set the edge. Like, these are fundamental things on the defense. And then if you go, okay, well, then you're asking Trayvon Diggs or Kalen Carson or, you know, Donovan Wilson to make a tackle on a freight train in the open field. Well, they're going to close their eyes and grab air. So it looked terrible. It really looked bad. And so if you look at what the Giants are doing, they were terrible week one. It was awful. They got better week two, even though they lost. They had a chance to win. Last week, they played a good game. The defense just rattled Deshaun Watson all game long. They took advantage of a broken offensive line. Like all those guys you talked about, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon, Ojulari, they all showed up. And Shane Bowen called a great game. Like, he blitzed the hell out of Cleveland. And they sacked him 8 times, hit him 15. I would say, dial up that pressure again. And if Daniel Jones, he wasn't great, but he's got a great player in Malik Nabers. He's got a dependable back in Motor Singletary. The offensive line is playing cohesive, unified football. There's not breakdowns and leaks. They've got a fighter's chance. Now, they've never been able to stop Micah Parsons since he came in this.
Right.
He's ruined their offense. So, and even when they try tripping him or double, like, he still ruins it. And he chases Daniel Jones. Like, so to me, if they can do a reasonable job of containing Micah, they got a chance to win this game tonight.
I'm very intrigued by Daniel Jones' rushing props in this game, Baldy, because why would you not, like, you get with Singletary in the pistol and you run sprint plays away from Parsons' side. Like, I mean, it's not rocket science, right? You don't want to let Parsons wreck the game. We run at him with power. We run away from him with speed. And they've got the personnel to do it, no?
Yeah, no, they do. They don't. I think Daniel Jones has to be a big part of the run game. I mean, all you have to do is just pull out these Lamar runs last week.
Right.
And just how fundamentally unsound they were in stopping a basic read option play. Like, Daniel Jones is good at it, and he's been good at it. Now, it's led to some injuries also over the course of his career, but I don't think Brian Daboll is thinking about anything else but winning the game any way that he can tonight and getting in front of that crowd and getting themselves to 500 and getting themselves into the race and staying relevant. So he'll do whatever he has to call tonight in order to get that done. So does Dallas work on some of those issues they had last week? Because it's going to come. It's going to come out of this week.
I would look into Daniel Jones and Singletary anytime touchdown props. The Cowboys, Baldy, have somehow allowed 11 rushing touchdowns in their last four games. 11 rushing touchdowns allowed in the last four games. Do the Cowboys even try to run the ball in this one, or has that ship sailed? Like, Dak's going to have to throw it 40 to 45 times, whether we're playing on the moon, whether we're playing at home, whether we're playing in the Meadowlands.
Well, I mean, if the Giants – look, I don't think they can just shut down CeeDee Lamb. He's just too – they move him around too much. But he's not playing great right now. He had a drop last week. He was part of the issue. But I don't know that they have enough right now for Dak just to drop back and throw it. Like, that's not a good formula. Mm-hmm. Like, they look like a sawed-off team when you have Deuce Vaughn and you have Kevontae Turpin and Brandon Cooks. Like, I like a big team. They're a little team. And, you know, you're not gonna pound the belly of any defense with the running backs that they have. But it's up to Dak right now. And they certainly have the creativity to do a lot of things like did week one against Cleveland to nullify a pass rush to get some plays. So, you know, it's going to come down really just to turnovers. Which team takes care of the football right now?
Yeah, Dak, 10-3-1 against the spread in his career against the Giants. I couldn't back him here. The over, I like it, but you could have got it at 43.5. So I hate seeing 2 points. That's a big deal. And as we mentioned, Daniel Jones rushing props could be a good play here. Baldy, Green Bay, Minnesota. Maybe my favorite game of the weekend.
Yeah.
LaFleur, it's been a masterclass from identifying Malik Willis to getting him ready to play so quickly, to basically playing rugby week one with him and Jacobs against an Indianapolis team that can't stop the run, opening the playbook up more for the second week now that he's been in your building, and probably a shock to the system how well they passed the ball last week. Also, they did a good job with the espionage of this, keeping that Jordan Love door ajar just to give people something to think about. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores, I don't know that any defensive coach is better than him right now. He's not blitzing 50% of the time like last year. He has adjusted. He has adapted. And he is still incredibly effective. And he's had the secret sauce his whole career against that Shanahan family tree. Like, he's 3-0 against the master, Kyle Shanahan himself.
Yeah.
This is a really, really intriguing matchup. What stands out to you about it?
Well, all the things you just mentioned, Jason, you're spot on. I mean, you've done your homework on this. Flores has been amazing. I mean, they've given up 30 points in three games, Jason. Like, C.J. Stroud told Brian Flores after the game, like, hats off. Like, he was, for the first time ever, he looked confused about what to do. And honestly, I've been studying Flores. It just keeps evolving. And now that he's got Stephon Gilmore out there who's still on his game, still a really good player, they know they can lock up a guy on the outside to free somebody else up. Andrew Van Ginkle, nobody knows who he is, but just another Wisconsin linebacker that's been cross-trained, can do everything. He could easily, after 3 weeks, be the defensive player of the year. Like, he's everywhere. You don't really know what front they're going to be in. You don't never know on third down who's coming and who's dropping. They played, you know, Mel Kiper's making a big deal about cover two. Heck, they played two deep coverage last week.
Yeah.
What are you going to say about that, Mel? They give you a lot. They don't let anything go over their head. Those two safeties, Harrison Smith and Cade Bynum, they're really good at what they do. They rally to the ball. But, I mean, Matt LaFleur is an amazing coach. He just is. Like, Jordan Love, okay, he got his contract, got hurt. When they trade for Malik Willis, I'm like, what are they doing? They watch him. His first play last week was 30 yards to Jaden Reed. Yeah. He hit Christian Watson with a 30-yard spray fade. He ran on the opening touchdown of the game. They went right down the field. And he hasn't come close to turn the ball over. And they're running a little similar offense to what Baltimore has done, mm-hmm. you know, with Patrick Ricard and the power position. They'd use Tucker Kraft in that position there in Green Bay. Some read options, some, you know, play action fakes. I mean, everybody's touching the ball. And, oh, by the way, Josh Jacobs is still really good. So,
yeah.
This is going to be great. It's going to be a great matchup. Now, maybe Malik Willis falters against this defense, and maybe that's the story. But you watch Sam Darnold with Kevin O'Connell. Coaching matters. His creativity, his design in the plays. using Justin Jefferson and Aaron Jones, the two great players they are, and the way that they manipulate the defense with their formations and their motions, it's really good. It's really creative. I'm happy for Sam. He's got stability. He's playing great. I don't know if he's gonna fall off the cliff anytime soon, the way he's being coached right now.
I couldn't get behind either of these sides, Baldy. I just think it's such a close game. Like, is Jordan Love going to play? Is he going to play at full capacity? This is a big step up for Sam Darnold and that group going on the road outdoors against this defense that looks pretty good. I am playing it through Aaron Jones, though, right? This is an Aaron Jones revenge game. Aaron Jones, since, what, week 15 last year, has been going over 100 scrimmage yards almost by birthright. And Green Bay's run defense, like, the numbers, to me, paint a picture of a group that's improved but still with a ways to go. Like, they're 13th in run defense EPA this year, 4.7 a carry. I could see Aaron Jones getting his hands on the football quite a bit in the run game and the pass game. Do you think he features in this game plan?
Oh, I mean, last week he caught a touchdown pass. He spread out wide receiver. They put Justin Jefferson in the backfield, and they ran a play for Aaron Jones. He can beat you in the screen game. He's always been an excellent receiver. Look, the greatest motivator in this whole industry is revenge, period. Like, Aaron Jones has been thinking about this game since the day Green Bay gave up on him, and they said, we want Josh Jacobs. I mean, you're going to get – first of all, the thing about Aaron Jones, you know, since the day he came out of Texas El Paso, the guy's got great vision. He is – like, he sees – if there's a hole, he sees it, he finds it. He's got all the ability to get to it. The only thing that has ever slowed him down are some knick-knack injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Otherwise, the guy is an A player. So and he loves playing football. So he's – yes, he's going to be a motivated guy. He knows that field. He knows that defense. I mean, at least the defensive philosophy has changed, but he knows the players. You know, he knows Kenny Clark, Rashawn. He knows all those guys. So he's going to be chirping. He's going to be hungry. It's like I remember talking to Aaron. I built a good relationship with him. I remember when he went to play in Dallas 2 years ago. He ran for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was back in Texas. He's a Texas kid. He's from El Paso. He grew up a Cowboy fan. He couldn't wait to play the Cowboys, Jason, and just put one on him. And I think he feels the same way about going to Lambeau this weekend.
Yeah, I like Jones over rushing attempts, 13.5. I like him over his scrimmage yards as well. Anytime touchdown, you know he wants to Lambeau leap it, right? Like, it ain't going to be a Sam Darnold keeper from the two, Baldy. I know that much.
I have a feeling that whoever runs his social media account, I don't know if he has one or big one, I don't know. But somebody's going to be on the sideline capturing him and making that leap when and if that happens.
I lean under here. Green Bay at home last 2 years, 6-3 to the under. Minnesota on the road last 2 years, 6-4 to the under. Green Bay home games averaging 38 points. Minnesota road games averaging 43 points in that span. We're sitting right at that 43.5. Not my favorite play, but.
The one thing I'd say, Jason, is, you know, Brian Flores has been there for 2 years now. So, you know, Matt Flores had a chance to kind of see it.
Yep.
Digested a little bit. A lot of new personnel, Jonathan Greenard, all these new guys in Minnesota, right? Andrew Van Ginkle, a lot of new personnel. But what he's trying to do, especially on third down, I feel like Matt LaFleur knows the challenge that Flores presents. I believe he's probably spent a great deal of time in the offseason studying it. Like, I don't know the quarterback situation.
Right.
They have done a great job with Malik, and they have taken care of the football. So I'm curious what Matt has sort of gleaned from seeing this defense a couple of times now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hell of a game. I cannot wait to tune in.